Welcome to Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry, Senior Pastor of Christ Family Church in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida.
Look at this beautiful crowd of people. Turn to someone and say, you know you are beautiful. Come on, just tell them. Tell them that they're beautiful and they're wonderful. Amen. Amen. Now say this. This one's a little bit more difficult for you. Say, I am beautiful.
I am beautiful.
No, not you, me. And it's a joke. It's a joke. You see, we can see other people and see them as beautiful, but we can't see ourselves too often as beautiful. You see, when you know who you are in Christ, when you know what Christ has done for you and how he created you fearfully and wonderfully, and he made you in perfection, you will start saying, I am beautiful. So many times we can't see ourselves as a beautiful person. We see ourselves as that mean, nasty. That's the old man. If you're born again, you're now a beautiful new creation in Christ. Amen. So start to see yourself that way. I just want to say this. We had this Friday, just passed, we had a chuck wagon lock-in in Okeechobee, our campus number 2. And we had such an incredible turnout of youth and young adults and, well, whoever was there. It was packed. And they had a great time. So God is starting to do something. And our hearts are for the younger people and the youth. I want you to know. So you're going to see some youth services in this church taking place. In fact, Pastor Jay knows when he's ready, we're going to do another youth service. Amen. Now take your Bible in your hand, shake it all about. And let's make a faith confession statement. You ready? Let's say it. This is my Bible. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I am what it says I am. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, living seed of my living God. My heart is receptive, my mind is alert, and I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. I'm just excited because God is my Father. I'm excited because I am born again.
Amen.
He did that for me. I'm excited. I'm going to miss a terrible place and go to a real good place.
Yeah.
I'm excited. How many of you are excited?
Yeah.
But you know what? We've got to learn a few things on the road. You know, life is a journey. And really, this journey is not really meant to be shared on your own. You're supposed to share it. You're not supposed to go on this journey alone. You've got to share it with other people. And you've got to interact and interweave with other people. How many of you know that? If you're married, how many of you know you've got to speak to your spouse occasionally? Amen? You've got to have communion. You've got to get a relationship going. You know, how many of you like having a relationship with your parents? Don't you think it's a good thing to have a relationship with your parents? Now, your parents might be in heaven today, but you still had a relationship and you still think good thoughts towards them. Now, if you didn't have the greatest of parents, you still honor them. Amen. God says to honor your parents and everything will go well with you. Not everybody had the greatest parents, but you know what? We've got the greatest parent right now. That's God the Father. And he wants to have a relationship with you. He wants that relationship where you become intertwined and intimate and together. And so I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what we started on 2 weeks ago. We're talking on the rewards of communion with the Father. Do you know that there's a reward to fellowshipping with God? I mean, think about it. He says, even in Hebrews 11:6, he says, without faith, it's impossible to please me. And those that come to me must believe that I am God and that I am a rewarder of them that diligently seek me. He wants us so close to him that he's prepared to reward us for coming close to him. That's how much he wants to be near us. Now, unfortunately, it doesn't work the same way going to from our side. We don't often want to be that close to God. Like Adam, at one stage, he wanted to hide from God, if you remember. When God said, Adam, where are you? Because he saw himself as a sinful person. That's why you got to see yourself as someone supernatural today. If you see yourself as a sinner and nasty and mean and a bad person, you're not going to want to come to God because he's so perfect and so pure. But when you see yourself as being made righteous by him, you won't be scared to come to him. Doesn't matter what you did. You'll come to him and say, hey, dad, please forgive me. I messed up big time. And he's going to say, okay, my son, my daughter, he's going to hug you and forgive you. Amen. And he's going to propel you towards your destiny. Don't you know God wants you to meet up with your destiny? He's placed a destiny for each and every one of us over here, and we're over here. And this road we're traveling is supposed to be getting us towards a destination that he planned for us. And on that destination, he says, I know the thoughts I think towards you. Thoughts of good, not evil. To give you an expected end, a hope, and a future. He's got great plans for each and every one of us. Doesn't matter how bad it's been up until now. Even up until today, it doesn't matter how bad it's been. Doesn't matter how bad it's been. Because the devil comes with these roadblocks. He'll put a block here, he'll put a block there, he'll put a block there. He'll be like old MacDonald, had a farm, yeah, yeah. And on the farm, he had some blocks, yeah, yeah. With a block, block here, and a block, block there. You're a block, they're a block. Everywhere, block, block. Isn't that truth? I mean, you're going this way for God, gung-ho, and he'll just come in with something to sideswipe you. He'll send you a curveball. He'll do whatever he can to take you off the path that God's chosen for you. But you know what? All you do is say, God, I messed up. I started going the wrong way. Help. And he'll say, okay, let's just make an adjustment. There we go. Okay, walk. That's what he does. He's not going to, nope, nope. Now that you did that, I'm not interested in you. That's not God. He loves us. He loves us. How do I know? Because he sent Jesus. For God so loved us that he sent his son Jesus. Amen. And so the word communion, I want to just give you a couple of synonyms for the word communion, which is intimacy, togetherness, accord, you're in one accord, association, closeness, contact, fellowship, harmony, intercommunication, unity, participation. God wants us close to him. He wants to fellowship with us. And the thing about it is, you're going to be rewarded for doing it. You will be rewarded for doing it. How crazy is that? It doesn't get better than that. You want me to be in your presence, and then you're going to, who can heal me, by the way, in your presence? Who can protect me in your presence, by the way? Who can sort out my mess? You can get my body healed. You can give me the finances in your presence, everything. In his presence, the Bible says in Psalm 11, 16, 11, says in his presence is fullness of joy. There's no sickness running around God's presence. You see, when you turn the lights on, the dark flees. And God is light. So when you get into his presence, there's no sickness there. There's no bankruptcy or no money there. There's no children off the chain. You get into his presence and he starts to reward you because the light switches on and the darkness has to flee. Whatever the enemy's planned for your life has got to go. So we should be focused on getting into his presence. Amen. And that's why we do praise and worship. Because that's a time to worship God. And the Bible says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and come into his courts with praise. You worship God, you can get into his presence. Amen. You can go into your little closet at home, your private place, and you're in his presence. You can be driving in your car, and you're in his presence. But you've got to acknowledge it, and you've got to go after it. Amen. So we looked at a few things. We saw in James 4,
verse 7,
it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Everyone say, draw near to God and he will draw near to me. You see, what you've got to understand is to the degree that you seek God is the degree you're going to find God. I'm going to say that again. To the degree you seek after God is the degree that you're going to find God. He says, you draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. As you get closer to me, I'll get closer to you. And so if you value God, you'll want to be right there with him. They that dwell in the shadow of the Most High God. Don't fear any evil. If you're in his shadow, guess what? He's right there. You're right in his presence. Can you say amen? And last week we saw that the number one issue is choice. Choice is the key. When I really want something bad enough, then I will pursue whatever it is I want. If you wanted to become a great tennis player or great basketball player or great baseball player or softball player, you got to work at it. You can ask my brother-in-law, Billy. His daughter's doing great. One of the top pitchers in St. Lucie and I say Florida, probably the world. But the poor guy and his wife and his daughter, are out every single day, pursuing what is valuable. When you found your spouse, remember how you were before you got married?
Yes.
Oh, don't act. Don't act now. Don't act. Well, I was cool. No, you weren't. You were like a heap of mess. Inside, everything was jumping. She looked at me. He spoke to me. You were going nuts. Come on. And the way you treated her then, you should still treat her now, or him. The flowers, you pursued. You went after. Until they eventually said, okay, I do. Amen. Making the choice, we saw last week, making the choice to adopt some new patterns is what's going to allow it to happen. If you want to learn to get closer to God, if you want to learn to get in connection with God, there is some things you're going to have to make changes. You're going to have to make decisions. You're going to have to make a choice. I want to get closer to God. And if you make that choice and you mean that choice, you will do what is necessary to get closer to God. Amen? And we got a glimpse of David's heart. Last week, he has that Psalm now 27. I just want to look at David's heart once again. Remember, God said about David, he said, here is a man after my own heart. He's got a heart just like I want. He's a heart after my own heart. And he sinned and he did wrong and he was messed up many times, right? And yet God said he's got a heart after me. It doesn't matter how bad you've been or the wrong you've done. It matters what's in that heart. Do you love God?
And if you do, you will obey him.
And David pursued God hard. Look what he says. He has the one thing I crave from God, the one thing I seek above all else. I wish we could all say that. I want the privilege of living with him every moment in his house, finding the sweet loveliness of his face, filled with awe, delighting in his glory and grace. I want to live my life so close to him that he takes pleasure in my every prayer. Amen. Now remember this. David, he actually was down at one stage when Saul, King Saul, was chasing him, wanted to kill him because he saw that the people respected David more than him because he killed Goliath. And, you know, they started singing songs about David, better songs than they did about Saul. So jealousy got involved, the devil got involved, and Saul lost his anointing. And God said, I'm taking the kingdom away and someone else is going to get it. And so what happened was David was chased for 13 years. And he said this. He said to himself, he made a choice and a decision. He said, self, why are you so downhearted? You are going to praise God. He said, why are you so disquiet within me? Yet will you praise the Lord? You see, you can make a decision. You can make a choice against your emotions, against your feelings, against what's coming against you, against the circumstances of life that are coming and trying to attack you. You can make a decision and say, I'm going to serve my Lord. I'm going to worship my God. I'm going to get into his presence and I'm going to stay close to him. You can make a decision to worship God. You can make a decision to get closer to God. The decision is yours, not his. The decision is yours. He already said, draw nigh unto me. And I'll draw mine to you. So we have to make the decision. Amen. And we're going to see why we want to make that decision. And remember, David had written that psalm, I want to spend presence in your presence before the temple was even built. His son Solomon built the temple. David said, one day in your presence is better than the rest of my life, just one day. Can we get a hunger for God? Yes, we can. Can we be like David? We can be more than David was. How can you say that? Because we got the Holy Ghost in us. Yeah. We got the Holy Ghost living with us permanently. Amen. He's a permanent fixture.
Hallelujah.
Do you understand? So the Bible says, stir up the gift that is in you. What is the gift? The Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. That's the Holy Ghost inside of you, coming out of you because you're releasing him to do stuff. You're putting your hands on people. You're praying for people. And the rivers of life are coming out of you.
Amen.
You see, the Bible says about a righteous man and woman. And if you're born again, you're righteous. It says, the fruit of a righteous man is a tree of life. And he that wins souls is wise.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Extreme Faith. To hear this message in its entirety, log on to Christ Only.